Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I mean, I love the Lord this morning. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share the Word of God this morning. I love and appreciate Brother Webb. Amen. Our people at East Gastonia love him. He'll be doing our youth camp again, second time, I believe. Preach camp meeting several times for us, and we appreciate him. I appreciate what he said last night around the table out in the fellowship hall, that his number one priority was this church. Pastor first, amen. And I appreciate that. He loves this church, and he can stay busy all the time. We appreciate you sharing him with the Holiness Movement, amen. It's been such a blessing. Brother Barnett, I'm looking forward to hearing him, trying to get out of the way here and let him have it. He always tells me something good. I've never had communion the same way since he preached on communion. Amen. And then Brother Joey Hyde, I'm glad you're here for the whole nine yards this time. Does it have something to do that he waited to the last night to take your offering? Is that it? We had Brother Hyde about 3 years ago. We had him for, we started with him in camp meeting. Amen. He preached two nights, I believe, and had one of those emergencies, and that's what you understand when you get a pastor. Amen. He had to go back, and Brother Mike Roberts came in and just filled right in. I don't know if he left a spirit there, but Mike Roberts both nights was very comical. Amen. Priest, and done a wonderful job. It's good to be with each and every one of you today. Desire your prayers. I am under a burden this morning. I need to find you and help you. The Holy Ghost has already found you. Job 42, verse 13. Job 42 and 13. We are still having camp meeting. We sent it in. It didn't get put in the Holiness Messenger, but we're having camp meeting July the 15th through the 18th, Tuesday morning through Friday night, Brother Ryan Ralston at night, Brother Paul Mark Key at 11, and Brother Bill Prescott at 10. One of those ought to preach. Amen. Come on down. We have dorms. We'll feed you. Amen. We'd love to have you at East Gastonia, exit 19 of I-85. Amen. We are a suburb of Charlotte, North Carolina. Charlotte, that city that has free parking. It's called Interstate 77. Seriously, this morning, I am under burden. I have a question. I'm going to preach on a question. Here's the question. What are you holding against God? What are you holding against God? Can we stand for the reading of God's word? Job 42, verse 13. He had also seven sons and three daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, the name of the second Keziah, the name of the third Karen Hapuk. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. One more time, would you pray? Father, anoint me, let me be hid, but let Christ be seen. Let me say all you want said, no more, no less. We pray that you would move and anoint your word, anoint your servant this morning, God, and help us and touch us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, we pray. And the church said, amen. You may be seated. In chapter 1, the last of the afflictions of Job's and the most grievous was the death of all 10 of his children at once. We find in chapter 8, verse 4, that his friends even upbraided him with it, but God, in due process of time, repaired even that breach, either by the same wife or a new one, she being dead. Job's family is now built up again, and he had great comfort in his children. God's sent beauty before the eyes of him who had suffered much, who had felt the burden of darkness. Am I talking this morning to somebody who has felt the burden of the night, the burden of darkness? Have you ever lost anything? Have you ever went through anything that has seemed like that everything now is different? Seemed like you try to move on, try to get past it. But the question today is, what are you holding against God? Amen. We find the number of his children are the same. Some give the reason that they are doubled. Not as his cattle were doubled, the children being the same, because the dead ones were not lost. They'd gone before to a better place. And so he's got a host in heaven and one on earth, two fleeces of children. But what I want to point out to you this morning is that it's very interesting to me that Job's seven sons are not one of them named in Scripture. He doesn't name a one of them, but he names all three daughters. In a culture where women were viewed on a level below men, all three of Job's daughters are named, while their sons are not named. I found out a long time ago in the Old Testament, when a daughter is born and she's given a name, there's a sermon there, there's a message there, and God will speak to us through these three daughters. We look at Job, but look at his daughters, Jemima and Kezia and Karen Hoppuck. First of all, there's Jemima. The name of the first Jemima is from the Arabic. It means dove. It means gentle bird. It means day, or the day break. The eye of the morning. The gleaning of a new dispensation. You see, Jemima, the day, he named her Jemima because she was the shining forth of his prosperity. He'd been through the night. He'd been through the darkness. He'd been through the suffering. He'd been through the loss. But he let God heal him, and he learned to move on with his life. And he says, I may have been back there, but I'm not going to stay there. There's a new day. Oh, in 2014, the church is going to have to learn to get up. It doesn't matter how black and dark it is. In America, we need a Jemima. We need a new dispensation. We need the eye of the morning. We need the daybreak. Somebody lift your hand and love him tonight or this morning. Job suffered. The Bible doesn't tell us how long he suffered. Job 7 and 3 says, so I have been afflicted, or allotted months of futility in wearisome nights. So we know he suffered for months. He was sick for months. He grieved for months. Amen. Brother Jimmy Milliken was just with us a few weeks ago, and right before church broke down and cried, still grieving. It's only been 4 or 5 months. Amen. We go through this grieving. We all have losses. Amen. We don't know how long it was, but we know it was months. It was less than a year. Most likely more than a couple of months that he went through this. We know, though, that he could say with David in Psalm 6:6, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed to swim. I water my couch with tears. While he could say that, he could also say in Psalm 30:5 with David, for his anger endureth but for a moment, in his favor's life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What can I pray?
preach to somebody right now. You've been through the night. You've suffered hurt. You've been hurt. You've been bruised. You've been cut. You've been wounded. Amen. But can I tell you, if you're not careful to make sure God has healed your heart and you've learned the lessons that God brought you through that trial for, you might have to go through it again and again and again until you enter in to the suffering of Christ and the power of his resurrection. Don't get bitter. If you get bitter, don't stay bitter. Great God, move on, get over it. Let God restore you again and give you a Jemima, because joy cometh in the morning.
God would say to us in Isaiah 61 and verse 3, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, kings to the brightness of thy rising. You see, when you come out, you'll help somebody else to come out. When you get up, you'll help somebody else get up. When you make up your mind, I'm going on and I'm going to keep my joy and my integrity, and I'm going to live to honor Christ. I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to live that he might be honored and redemption might go forth. Others will gather around you and you'll inspire them. If you'll say, I've been through it, I felt like quitting, but Lord, give me a Jemima, give me a dawning of a new day. Can somebody love him? You see, no day is clearer than the clear day after the storm. It's always clearer after the storm. Oh, listen. Do not make life decisions in the storm. Don't make decisions that can last a lifetime when you're in the valley. Don't make that decision in the night. Wait till the storm's passed. Oh, you're sitting here and say, my storm don't ever end. Brother Meekum, it's on and on and on and on. Hey, I'm preaching to you. What are you holding against God? Brother Meekum, are you insinuating that I resent God? I ain't insinuating. I'm telling you, there's somebody here sitting in this sanctuary that resents God. God sent me to preach to you. You're bold, Brother Meekum. I get bold when the Holy Ghost gives me something. I'm sent this morning to this meeting to tell somebody you resent God. You resent the hurt. He's treated you different than he treated the people around you. He's done different with you than he done with the others. He's taken something from you, and you resent him. I speak in tongues. I didn't say you didn't have the Holy Ghost. I'm washed in the blood. I didn't say you wasn't saved. I pay my tithes. I'm a good member of the church. I didn't say you wasn't a good member. I'm saying hid in your heart. You won't put it into words. You won't expose yourself. You don't speak it out. But you got hurt in the night. There was something taken from you that you've never got over. God wants you to get over. Preachers, would you pray for me? Preachers, pray for me. I come to tell you, if you'll change your attitude, if you'll get past it, God will give you a Jemima to take up and take the place of the one he took. Listen, if you hold on and you get in the altar and say, God, that thing's there. I've never shared it. I've never spoken it out.
But I know that I've allowed myself to build a wall between me and you, and I've presented the fact. Listen, let me ask you another question. Can you trust God when he treats you differently than he treats everybody else around you? Can you trust him then? Can you be faithful then? Can you keep going then? Can you have joy then? Right in the middle of the sorrow, right in the middle of the loss. Great God, I'm telling you, storms don't last forever. Trouble doesn't last forever. But if you'll get in the altar and say, God, I don't understand why you took this, why you allowed this to happen, why this is afflicting me, why I've had to suffer this way. But God, I'm going to trust you that you're after something, and I want to be your friend like Abraham. And I want to be faithful, and I want to honor your being. I want to honor Christ. I want others to see that I'm not going to get bitter. I'm not going to hold a grudge against you. I'm not going to hold a grudge against anybody else. But I'm waiting on the Jemima. Can somebody say amen?
Things may seem better. They can be seen more better and distinctly on a clear day. Not only can you look further forward, you can look backward a lot better on a clear day. Some of you, you're still in the storm. You're not seeing right. You're not thinking right. You're looking back on your history. All you see in your life is all the failures. All you see is what goes wrong. All you see is what God isn't doing. All you see is what the devil's doing. All you see is it never changes. It's always the same. It ain't going to get any better. But if you'll get past the storm, God's got a Jemima for you. God's got a new morning. God's got a bright morning. Oh, great God. God's got a gentle bird. God's got a dove for you. Great God. You know what God did? God cleaned up the mess in Job's life and gave him a Jemima. I'm here to preach to somebody that God can clean up the mess in your life if you'll be faithful and keep going.
God gives him a second daughter, which is actually the fifth daughter. Amen. Got three in heaven. He names her Kezia. Kezia, which is a variation of cassia, a fragrant spice. Cassia was used in the holy anointing oil. It was used in a perfume. It was a spice of a very, very fragrant smell. Kezia means covered up. Kezia covered, it masked the offensive smells and odors. Job couldn't stand the smell of his own breath, let alone the smell and the odor of the oozing, running boils all over his body. He said, my breath is corrupt. My breath is strange to my wife. There's a root Hebrew word that Kezia comes from. It simply means to scrape or peel off. Scraping and peeling off convey the idea of taking away. Taking away. That's what the devil did to Job. He just kept taking away. Oh, am I preaching to somebody that it seems like the devil just keeps taking away? You look for it to get better, but it gets worse. You look for increase, but there's more decrease. Am I preaching to a preacher this morning? Everybody else's church is doing wonderful, but maybe there's somebody here this morning that's like mine. My church right now is struggling. Amen. We feel like we're famishing. Amen. I feel like sometimes I'm doing my best to keep the doors open. Amen. Struggling. What's happening, Brother Meekum? That's not important, really. Just enough to tell you, we've had a lot of old timers die. Our old timers have died off. Amen. You know one thing about them old timers? They prayed and they paid tithes. Amen. Oh, hear me. I'm preaching to a preacher that you're trying to get that thing to going, but it seems like everything you try is a disaster. It seems like instead of making it better, it makes it worse. I'm preaching to a member today that the devil just keeps peeling away, scraping away. That's what the devil did to Job. You see, the scraping and the peeling, though when you add it to Kezia, it simply means the peeling releases the aroma. Are you showing yourself? What about your attitude? Is there a stink? Is there an odor about your spirit and about your attitude? Have you got hard against God? Have you got hard against another member? Have you got separated and walls built between you and the man of God? Somebody help me preach. Hey, God, you don't have to get bitter. You don't have to get hard. Hey, God, if you let God's spirit overshadow you, the more the devil takes, the sweeter you can smell. You see what happened is the more that the devil peeled away from Job, the better he smelled. Hey, God, the more beautiful his life was manifest. Oh, great God, I want to be faithful when the devil is peeling away. Huh? It was when the devil began scraping at Job that the aroma of his life began to disperse. Somebody's watching you this morning. They're looking. They know what you lost. But they're seeing if you come up and still pray in the altar. They're seeing if you're still there through the midweek service. Huh? They're seeing if you're still lifting your hand. Are you still praising? Are you still worshiping? Oh, hallelujah to God. Huh? The more layers that the devil peeled away from Job, the stronger the aroma came. What's it doing to you today? You just getting more and more bitter? Have you got hard? Have you got to where you can sit in church and what used to bring tears to your eyes, it don't move you anymore? Same conviction is there. Same hand of God is reaching. Just like he's reaching for somebody this morning. But it doesn't move you anymore. You've got hard. You know the ropes. That preacher ain't going to play on my emotions. I didn't come to play on your emotions. I'm reaching for your soul. I'm out. Oh, Brother Meekum, you're getting on my toes. Well, I'm sorry for being a bad shot. I'm not shooting for your toes. I'm not shooting for your feet. I'm shooting for your heart. I'm trying to find you where you are. I'm searching. I'm looking for you because you're here. The Holy Ghost already knows you. He knows where you are. But Brother Meekum's looking for you. You're here. And if you'll get honest and get close enough to the cross again, you'll find there is some resentment in there. I've been resenting God. I've been holding this thing against God. I've had feelings against God. I just feel like he hadn't been fair. Listen, sometimes God
will seem like an unloving father. Sometimes he will seem like an incompassionate God. Sometimes when you are looking for pity, God sends more adversity. But he's after something that he needs to cut out of your life. Are you hearing me? You need to understand, know ye not that you are not your own. It ain't about you. It's about eternity. It ain't about you. It's about the good of other souls. The world doesn't evolve around you. Hey, hey. There's no such thing as a private life, a world within a world, for a man or woman who is bought and brought into fellowship with Jesus Christ. When you get into the fellowship of his suffering, you don't have a private life. You know what God does? He breaks up your private life and he makes it a thoroughfare for the world on one hand and himself on the other. The first thing God does is to get you based on rugged reality that life ain't fair. Amen. But if you give God time, he'll be fair. There'll be times he don't seem fair, but you give him time. Amen. He'll bring you to reality so that you don't care what happens to you as an individual, as long as he gets his way in the plan and his purpose. Why shouldn't we go through heartbreaks? Oh, through those doorways, God is opening up the way of the fellowship of the suffering of his son. But most of us fall short and we collapse. With the first grip of pain, we sit down at the threshold of God's purpose and we die away in self-pity, and we don't let God do his work. We don't let God get through with us. We don't ever let God develop what he wants to develop in us. He don't ever have the opportunity to bring us to the fullness of the measure of Christ because of self-pity and our hurt we can't get over. Oh, I ain't trying to be mean. I'm not belittling your hurt. I'm not belittling your loss. It's real. But God has a purpose in it. God's after something. You've got to come to the place that you realize you don't care what happens to you as an individual as long as he's honored, as long as he's glorified. Most of us, we've collapsed at the door, in the threshold. We don't ever enter in and become all that God would have us be. Huh? And all this so-called Christian sympathy, it will aid us to our deathbed. Did you hear what I just said? You better be careful about your intervention and other people's suffering. Hey, I'm a grandpa. My wife would love to be here, but she's providing daycare for our grandson. Been ready for youth camp. You got to get ready for Randy Webb. You got to get ready for him. Huh? Yeah. If there's anything in that little boy's life I can fix, if I can keep him from suffering, from hurting, I'm going to do it. Yeah. If there's anything I can do for my members, I don't want them hurting. I don't want them suffering. But we are carnal Christians when we think we're going to soften God's blow in their life. Are y'all chewing on this? Y'all feeding on this? We are going to get ourselves in a mess. And we're going to get ourselves more and more hurt by trying to soften the blow of God's hand. Because you don't know what's in their heart. And just the natural part of us, we want to soften that blow. We want to intervene. We want to make it better. We want to fix it. I got a woman in my church. I call her Sister Fix It. She wants to fix it for everybody. Our preachers are laughing. Y'all got one too, I think. Huh? There's things you cannot. You cannot fix for somebody else. Sometimes you need to let, I know it sounds awful, but if you get close enough to God, sometimes you have to let them hit with a thump. Hello? Because God's after something. I want to tell you, God will not. You'll take them to their deathbed and they'll never get some things out of their heart. They need to get out of their heart, but God will not. He comes with the grip of a pierced hand, the hand of his son. And he says, enter into fellowship with me. Arise and shine. Shout in the middle of the suffering. Rejoice in the middle of the night. Sing in the prison house with Paul and Silas. Get over it. It won't last forever, but you will if you see my purpose and yield your heart and life to me and check your spirit and say, God, renew a right spirit within me. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, that devil kept peeling away. He's been peeling away at you. What you gonna do? Is there gonna be an aroma? I said, is there gonna be aroma? Or are you gonna get hard? Are you gonna be an individual that people go the other way? Because all you do is complain. Hey, listen. God hates complaining. Sometimes we just have to grin, bear it, and go on and keep a good spirit, amen, and say, God, help me not to get bitter. We can talk about our war stories. We can talk about what we sacrificed for God. We can complain about all the things that we should have been treated better. But is there a spirit there that God's saying, deep down, the reason you're complaining about all this stuff is you're reflecting on my character. Because I'm the one that sent you into it. I'm the one that allowed it to happen. Hello? I'm the one that allowed you to suffer through all that. And every time you complain about it, you wound my heart. And you reflect on my character. But I'm after something that's got to be cut out of your life. And this is the only way. By pain and suffering, some things come out that will never come out. Who was it that said, it's doubtful that God has used any man greatly that he has not hurt deeply? What are you holding against God? What are you holding against God? It wasn't right, Brother Meekum. I know it wasn't right. But life ain't right. But God be right when it's over with. It wasn't fair. Life ain't fair. But if you give him time, you give him time, he'll be fair. He won't do it. I want to tell you, if through the broken heart, God can bring his purpose to pass in the world, then thank him for breaking your heart. God had healed the ulcers, the smell of which was offensive. He who had sat long amid the pestilence, the rottenness, the decay, the death. He had cassia sent to him from the gardens above. You can be sweet in your soul today. You don't have to complain about everything. Some things are just life. Get over it. Amen. What you going to do? You're going to be Mary, who came to the feet of Jesus, took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. You can fill the house with the sweetness of God if you won't get bitter. If you hold on and say, I'm going to stay sweet in my soul. I'm going to praise God. Everything's still falling apart. The devil's still peeling away. But I'm going to worship. I'm going to praise. I'm not going to sit there and look like a mule. I'm getting too comfortable. I feel like I'm preaching to my people. Hey, man, I'm going to smile. I'm going to give somebody a smile. Hey, man, if you see somebody without a smile, give them yours. Hey, man, make up your mind. I'm going on. Let me move on here. Last daughter here, Karen Hoppuck, simply means horn of beauty. This daughter was given to a man whose body had been covered with ugly, unsightly bulls. Hey, man, his life had been ugly. How many knows that his life was ugly for these months that he went through this? He's childless. That's ugly. 10 kids gone at one time. Taken. That's ugly. He's in poor health. That's ugly. Amen. He's got an unsympathetic spouse. That's ugly. Oh, he's got poverty now where he used to be rich. Amen. That's ugly. Oh, he's friendless. The ones that called themselves his friends, all they did was attack him. That's ugly. Being falsely accused. That's ugly. Oh, sitting on an ash heap. That's ugly. A life without honor. That's ugly. There was a lot of ugly in his life. Amen. I'm preaching to somebody. You've had some ugly in your life. You've had some bad. You've had it. Oh, yes. But let me tell you, there's a Karen Hoppuck that God will give you. The horn of beauty where there's been ugliness. Can somebody say amen? And Karen Hoppuck also means horn of plenty. A sign of abundance in the house. God sent back voices to sing again. Put music back in the house. You haven't been singing like you used to. You've been coming in. Bless God, preacher, I'm here. You'll be thankful I'm here. I showed up. Move me if you can. Hello. Amen. Oh, you're looking at me and I'm looking at you. Listen, he got singing back in the house. God wants to hear you singing tonight. Plenty was restored because God wiped away the tears of that fouled face. But listen to this. Listen here, I'm going to get out of the way. You can't have Jemima. You can't have Kezia. You can't have Karen Hoppuck unless you lose the former. Are you willing to lose? Are you willing for God to take whatever he chooses? Are you willing for God to step back and let the devil begin to peel away the things of your life? Precious things. Things that are dear to your heart. What is there in your heart that you value more than you value God? Maybe there was a friendship, huh? Maybe there was a member of many years who backstabbed you, pastor, pastors, huh? God, I don't understand why you let that happen. I ain't preaching what I don't know. Huh? Church treasurer, church Sunday school superintendent for 26 years. Got saved the first years I went to East Gastonia Church of God. cast the devil out of him. 26 years. Went 25 minutes down the road. Hello. I was there in his darkest hours. I held the baby that lived for 1 hour. I stood by his family. But right after my mom died, and the hardest thing I've ever done in my life was lose my mother. Amen. You call me soft, you can say whatever. Hardest thing I ever done is losing my mom. I miss her prayers. I still want to pick the phone up and talk to her. Huh? She died in November, and that Sunday school superintendent left March on her birthday. You ready? Are you willing for it to be peeled away? What you cherish. It ain't fair. It ain't fair. Well, where'd he go, Brother Meekum? He went down with the youth pastor. You know, the youth pastor, I put my personal bedroom suit in a Sunday school classroom so he'd have a place to sleep. My youth pastor, that we built him a nice little shower, ceramic tile shower, so he'd have a place to take a shower. Huh? Put him over my young people. Trusted him. Hello. Huh? You can judge me if you want to, but it wasn't right. When I made him youth pastor, I said, you get in this parking lot when you get ready to leave this church and you drive an hour in any direction, and wherever you go, you make sure it's an hour away. The flesh is flesh, friends. Hello. Hello. Y'all really looking at me now. I don't know what it is with you, your grandchildren, your children, that wife, that husband, huh? A career, a lifelong friendship. My daughter and a young lady who we spiritually adopted because both her parents died within 3 years of each other, grew up as friends. And my daughter married a man that needs some prayer. She's got a little son now, which is my grandson, and had his first birthday. And her husband wouldn't let that girl come to his house for that boy's birthday party. And he's a Church of God preacher. And so now, the girl, having children of her own, has pulled back from my daughter and says, I'm not going to let you or your son hurt my daughter and jerk him around. And that's something right. I'm trying to reach for somebody. I'm talking about somebody here has lost a relationship, a friendship. Somebody, you've lost something. You've lost something. It's been peeled away. But God can do a glorious work through it. God can move and make you greater and better. You don't have to get bitter. You can get better. You don't have to get bitter. You can get better. What are you holding against God? I know it's time for the other preacher, but I've got to at least ask you, would you stand and lift your hands? We need to pray right now. Somebody needs to pray. I don't want to interrupt. I don't feel the liberty to give an altar call because I want to hear it, Brother Barnett. Somebody, God's talking to you. What are you holding against God? Would you lift your hands? Close your eyes. Would you pray right now? Just pray. Have a season of prayer. Would you pray? Would you pray?